Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. This month, we're starting a new series of Encounters with Jesus, Road Trip. Today we're going to be looking at Lakeside. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful for allowing us this time together with you and with each other. That God, you open your scriptures to us that we may see you clearly, that you have a desire always to spend time with us, that we may be the better for it. Thank you for your hand upon this together time, that God, we may see you clearly and be better for it, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we're starting a whole new month, the month of June, and we're doing Encounters with Jesus. I had been thinking about, well, what is it that we really want? What do we need? And I don't know about you, but I could just use a good encounter with Jesus. I got to thinking everybody is feeling disconnected from each other, and something what we really need, it doesn't matter how disconnected from each other, we just can't be disconnected from God. Amen. And it's kind of picking up now. It's June and a lot of people are starting to go on road trips. So I had decided we should do Encounters with Jesus, and I picked five. We got five Mondays in June. I just went through my head. Now, the order we're going to take them in is not the order they came to me. But one thing that I saw was each one of them in one way or another is connected to a road trip. We forget Jesus was always on the move. Jesus was always going somewhere. He was coming from someplace, going to someplace. That just reminded me of another one. But anyway, I may have to change something out. Anyway, he was always on the road. And so we're going to take these not in the order they came to me, but kind of chronologically, if I can do that. And who knows, we may even slip over into July. Like I said, something more and more come to me. But I don't know about you, but for me, I just want an encounter with Jesus. And that'll be encouraging, it'll be uplifting, and hopefully it'll also be thought-provoking and soul-searching. Okay, so the first place we're going to go to is the lakeside. We live right here by what, the Great Lakes, and you know, you can look out the door every time you see people with their trucks, with their trailers, taking their boats to the lake. And when people can't travel far, everybody has their little lake cottage. They go to the lake, they spend the weekends there, and you know, that's just a popular pastime here, going lakeside. So today we're going to go lakeside. Jesus was traveling, and there was an encounter. I know that we've covered some of this scripture before from another point of view, but it always is good to remind ourselves of these things. So open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. Now, you know what we always do whenever we start to go to someplace, we ask ourselves, where is it? What book is it in? What was the purpose? What was the assignment of the author? What was the perspective? They all are truth. They all are the gospel, but each one has a little bit different perspective. And their perspective is often related to their assignment. So the book of Luke, Jesus is portrayed as the Son of Man, and it shows his humanity. Luke wrote it to include more of the church was emerging, going beyond just the Jewish culture, and was incorporated into many of the Gentile cultures, and it talked about the humanity of people. That's why in Luke you'll find more of the stories about the widow, the orphan, the overlooked, the invisible of society often. And you see Jesus in his humanity. So it's not surprising we find this here. This was the beginning of a great ministry that affects us till today. Jesus was on the road and he had an encounter. That encounter actually ended up affecting directly into ministry four people: Peter, Andrew, James, and John. But we're just going to focus on, here he is, Jesus. So we're in chapter 5. We're going to go back up to verse 44 of 4. You know, it's always good to get a running start. These things weren't written in chapters. You have to see what was going on. I must preach. Jesus in Luke 4 tells them, he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So you see he's on the road. It's amazing to me. That used to be me. I was always on the road. I was an itinerant preacher, and I absolutely loved it. It was very difficult for me to stay still. I guess I've been too sedentary too long. But Jesus was always on the road. That was just what he said in 43. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He preached in the synagogues of Galilee, and it came to pass. And is not the beginning of a sentence, and connects thoughts. So that's why we back up. When you see a connection, a conjunction is the proper word for it, and it's a conjunction, it connects two things. If it starts with and, you feel like, wait a minute, I missed that first part. So that's why you see he preached in the synagogues of Galilee, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, so he's come out of the synagogue now in Galilee, they pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the lake of Gennesaret. It's just different names for the same body of water. He saw twin ships standing by the lake. And I think about this. There were two of them. And he just happened to enter into the one. Now, I've been doing some other study from things that I hadn't kind of been let go for a little while. And there was one a historian who gives the suggestion that Jesus probably knew these people, because business would take him to this locale, and you know, they may have been familiar with each other. But this is their encounter with him as the Messiah. Okay. There were twin ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. He saw the boats, but he didn't see the men. And there's something there, because too many people in ministry to quote unquote, get ahead. They see the materials. They don't see the people. They see opportunities. They don't see individuals. They see, you know, possessions, not possessors. All right. So he sees these two ships, but the fishermen were gone out of them, okay, and were washing their nets. Now, we'll just take a moment. I know you've probably thought through all these things, but just to take us back and experience this encounter, they have had a lousy night of work. They've caught nothing. They have, don't tell us that yet, but we know that. They've been up. They come in. Their boats are anchored. They're moored by the lakeside, and they hauled their nets in. Now, their nets were made of rope. There was not this lightweight nylon that we have. And if you doubt it, just take a simple bit of rope and get it good and wet. This was made from feet, yard, who knows how much, and then it's all tied together in knots. Then it's dumped in the water, and it gets wet. Now they have to wash them. It's got, you know, it's got gunk on it. It's got seaweed. It's got all kinds of things. They have to keep it clean. Part of a job is not just, this is what I used to always say in church. When you want to see people who, oh, they want to serve God, they want to serve God, I say, okay, fine. Why don't you go scrub the toilets for us? Oh, you can tell whether somebody is going to be okay in ministry or not. If they aren't willing to scrub toilets, if they aren't willing to mop floors, then they probably are not going to be the kind of ministers that you want, to be quite honest. And these guys were washing nets, all right? It's not glamorous work. And Jesus says to them, let's push out in these boats a little bit, and then the people can hear him speak. So he got into the ship. He sat down, taught the people out of the ship. That gave him, his voice could carry more people. It's like a little bit of an amphitheater. Sat all the people down. He pushed out in the boat a little bit. They could all see him, and he taught them. Okay, that's fine. That's good. That's nice. A lot of people are willing to do service as long as it doesn't cost them much. And I don't mean monetarily. I mean in effort or change of life or lifestyle. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. This one verse has been preached so many times, I would hesitate to even go there. We all understand there's a difference of what we do in the shallows, but this encounter now has taken him from the shoreline, where he's washing nets, to getting in the ship and launching out a little bit, pushing back where they can see him, and now launching into the depths. Well, we do these things gradually. Nobody goes from, you know, the shoreline out into the depths. You've got to do it incrementally. You've got to grow into these things. But the biggest thing, and we all know that, we've all talked about, you know, that there's people who are willing to serve God in the shallows, but not in launching into the depths. But I know that I have shared with you more to underline that word nets. This, to me, is the very crux of everything else that unfolds from this point on. Simon answered and said unto him, Master. Now, he starts with Master, but everything after Master delies Master. He's calling him Master, and yet now he's going to disagree or discount everything Jesus says. We have toiled all night. We, the professional fishermen, we have toiled all night. We're worn out, and we've come in, we've anchored our boats, we've washed our nets, we're ready to go home and go to sleep. But we have taken nothing, all right? Nevertheless, and there's that religious word, nevertheless, it was religious. So many people have an encounter with Jesus, but it never gets past the religious stage. And if it does, then that encounter doesn't really happen. It's like, you know, they just glide by each other. We have to get beyond, to have a real encounter with Jesus, you have to get beyond being religious with Jesus. Nevertheless, at your word, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He didn't even have trouble launching into the deep. Where it came trouble was Jesus had said, let down your nets, plural. Okay? And he didn't, and you know, he told him that when you do this, you're going to get this huge draught of fish. But Peter felt his professional fisherman acumen outweighed Jesus' spiritual understanding. But he didn't want to just disagree with Jesus. Nevertheless, it's that negotiation point. We're going to negotiate it. God says this, and we're going to negotiate. Well, instead of doing that, I think I'll just do this. God says, go over here and work with these people. Well, you know, there's this organization that's doing a lot of good work, kind of like that. I think I'll just write a check to them. That's not what God said. Okay? He said, launch into the deep, part A, and he did it. Let down your nets for a draught, part B. He didn't have any trouble with part A, but he didn't have any trouble with the preamble that Jesus used his boat. Why would you let Jesus use your boat and you not get the benefit? Here you are, you've caught nothing. And Jesus says, here's an opportunity for a draught of fishes. Remember, there were two boats. This wasn't just about Simon. This was about his crew and his partner's crew, which we find out a little bit, are James and John. See, when we take an action, when we have an encounter with Jesus, we don't always realize the ramifications of it. We don't see all the other people that it involves. We don't know how many people will be blessed when we follow God's word, and we don't know how many people won't be blessed if we don't. Anyway, so he says, let down your nets for a draught. Master, I know you're real spiritual, but look, take it from me, a professional fisherman. We've toiled all night. I've been in those church meetings where you got the board of deacons, and they all, because they're savvy to business and savvy to all these other things, know better than what God has given you spiritually, and they're going to caution you on these things. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the net. We will humor you. We will, well, see, here's where it goes on. Well, we'll keep going. And when they had done that, see, Jesus wasn't telling let down the nets for greed. He was telling let down the nets for safety, because there were going to be so many fish that if you only had one net out, it's going to break the boat. It's going to drown you. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish that their net break. See, he didn't want to let down more than one net because he'd already washed it. And it was washed, so he didn't want to have to rewash it for catching nothing. So he let down one. Now the irony is that he has to repair that net. Instead of washing two nets, now he has to repair a net. Okay? So anyway, they encompassed this great draught of fish, and that they had to beckon to that other boat. See, Jesus saw two boats. So when he starts calling in for the draught of fishes, he's already calculated two boats, and he's calculated all the nets. But Peter took one boat and let down one net, and it almost became a problem. Jesus knows our capacity better than we do. We say we dream big. I remember being in a conference once, and I heard something, and it just has always stuck with me, that we want to do one of two things to God. We either want to make him so big, so immense, so far removed that he really doesn't have interest in our individual little details of life. And you know some religions and philosophies that do that. Or we want to make him so small that we can put him in our pocket, pull him out when we need a healing, or pull him out when we need a draught of fishes. And that's what he was doing. It's like, well, I'll calculate this. But Jesus had already calculated the draught, and he knew he's going to need both boats, all nets. Amen. So he beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. This is part of that encounter. Come and help. It involves people. It involves more people. And those people need, we are in the business to help each other. Amen. It connects us to God. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I told you he'd already calculated it, didn't he? They'd had any more fish, that it needed a third ship, but there weren't more fish. Why? Because Jesus already calculated for two ships. When Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus's knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Now, this is where there's a little key to it as well. By God's grace, I have seen and been blessed by several miracles, several phenomenal deliverance, healings, stupendous events. I can't say. And never are you overwhelmed with your sinfulness. You want to throw your arms up. You want to shout hallelujah. There are times that I have God's done something for me that others may see as this great miracle, but I know that God is talking to me about about where I have failed, where I have not lived up to it. Amen. And that's when you're overcome with remorse. You're overcome with conviction. Everybody else is dancing, celebrating for this draught of fishes. But it was, and I love how God deals with us. He does not publicly humiliate us, but we get it, don't we? So Peter falls to his knees and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Well, not because he drinks and cusses and, you know, plays around. I don't know what other his sins he had. But his sin here was that Jesus told him to do something. And he even said, "At your word, I will do it." And he didn't do it. He obeyed partially the letter of the law. But he didn't obey all the law, rule of the law, and B, he didn't obey the spirit of the law. And that's where that tricky line of religious behavior is. A real encounter with Jesus is not of a religious nature. It is an encounter with the master. And when the master says do something, he's already calculated the capacity of both boats. He's already calculated who all's going to be coming to your rescue. He's already calculated how many other people are going to be touched by this. He's already got the whole thing laid out, and all you got to do is what you're supposed to do. And he said, "Master, you got me. I was wrong. I didn't do what I should have done." That's what's behind that. "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." Nobody else saw it. Nobody else knew it. But the reality is that Peter and Jesus knew it. And it's put in here so that we see it. Amen? Because there are times that's what we've done. We say we believe, but we also hold back a little something. We keep a little bit of cynicism, or we hold on to a little negativity. Okay, so let's get on down with this encounter with Jesus. So he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which he had taken. But he's not even done yet. We got a couple more verses for things to happen here. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were his partners. Oh, so they were his partners. If you look on through history, all the things that James and John the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, do, you will see that sometimes our encounter, we want it to be our encounter be about us. Sometimes our encounter might be about somebody else. We do one or the other. We either think, you know, that God's way too big, he doesn't notice me at all, or I'm the center of the universe, that everything God's doing is just for me. But God can do things in layers. He cared about Simon, but he also used this occasion to draft James and John. He didn't talk to them about it, but they had that encounter too, didn't they? They had that encounter. And sometimes those wordless encounters are even better. Okay. So the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners of Simon. Okay, we're still in verse 10. And Jesus said to Simon, he doesn't say it to James and John. He doesn't say it to Andrew. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You know the key word in that verse? Henceforth. It's funny, we always want to, you know, hold on to these what we think are big spiritual words. Henceforth, from this time. We'll read verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. They all forsook. They forsook all, followed Jesus. It's all or nothing. And I know that I'm talking to the people who know it's all or nothing. And that's where sometimes, again, this encounter affected them. But I'm going to go back to that thing that here is, all this is happening around them. They're catching fish. They're hauling them in. But there was a little encounter inside this encounter between Jesus and Peter. I'll call him Peter. We still are calling him Simon at this point. But Peter. And Jesus looks at him. He realizes that he had negotiated with Jesus, that he tried to placate Jesus, that he had tried to just humor him and let him think he was doing everything, but he didn't really want to risk his labor that he had in washing the nets. Didn't matter because they were done with those nets anyway, weren't they? Except he comes back later too. He says, ah, nuts, I'm going to go back and go fishing. Well, we'll go with you. That's toward the end. I love the circular motion of Peter's ministry. It starts with this miracle draught of fishes. And after Jesus is crucified and he appears to them lakeside, and Peter again goes on nuts with this stuff, I'm going fishing. And he's, I'm going to chuck this ministry thing. I'm just going to go back to my old profession. And all the others go, well, we'll go with you. We'll do the same thing. See, he's a leader. And when you're a leader, you're either a leader for good or you're a leader for ill. You can't retire from being a leader. It's who you are. Amen. So sometimes it isn't even about you. Most of the time it isn't about you. It's about those who are following the other little ships with you. And they'd had so many things that had gone on in between. But when he first started his ministry, it started with this encounter lakeside. Amen. And when he starts his second half of his ministry, before Jesus ascends and Peter becomes, well, we'll say the chief apostle, it starts again with him lakeside and with fish and miracle draught of fish. And that time he just jumps overboard and swims to shore and might as well again say, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Jesus knows how to get to us where we are so that we can see the change we need to make. Amen? That's all it's for. Praise the Lord. So here he is, and I'm going to watch this encounter that happens in that word, henceforth. He had been, before Jesus used the word henceforth, he'd been a fisherman, right? Yes. But he'd been a failure of a fisherman. He had toiled all night. It wasn't that he was lazy. He worked hard, but caught nothing. There are many of us who understand working hard in ministry and get no benefit from it. When I say benefit, I don't mean for us, but we don't see that reward. We don't see that dividend. If it were money, it pays a dividend. He worked and worked and caught nothing. As a matter of fact, it was worse than that because he still had to do all that labor for nothing. Now, Jesus is encountering him lakeside, looks at him and goes, "That man, I'm going to make him an apostle." Boy, I wonder sometimes how God looks at us and decides about us. That one, I'm going to make her an apostle. That one, I'm going to make that one a teacher. Oh, my golly, golly. What can we say to these things if God be for us? Even we can't be against ourselves. So here he is, and he sees Simon by the lakeside. He says, "I'm going to make him an apostle. I'm going to make him the kind of people that will win souls, that will stand up on the day of Pentecost and win over 3,000 souls in one day." Oh, this is the man. And here he is laboring all night, cussing, unhappy because he's worked and worked and got no zip for a paycheck, got nothing. Jesus says, "We'll launch out." Okay, I'll do that. He's a jovial guy. He'll help Jesus out. But now when it really begins to cost him, now launch out of the deep. Well, I can do that. I can row back. I'm okay. Let down your nets. Well, Master, at your word, we'll let down a net. And it broke the net, and it almost sunk the ships. He had to call on others. See, it wasn't Jesus that called James and John. It was Simon called James and John. Remember when they were feeding the multitude, Jesus would break the loaves of bread, break the fishes. He gave it to the disciples to give to the people. See, God knows how to exalt you, but it is through labor. It's not like it's glorious. But he gave that assignment to Simon to call James and John. Amen? So here they are, and here he is before Jesus. He'd used the word master, but he probably used it in a condescending way. You know, the way we kind of give deference to somebody. You know, and we don't really accord them reverence. We just say, "Now, Reverend," but there's no real reverence there. "Now, Pastor," but we don't let them really pastor us, you know. Anyway, so he said, "Now, Master, I'll let down a net." Now he's at his feet and he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Henceforth, you'll be a fisher of men." Amen? We love that part. But had he said it before the miracle drought of fishes, if he had said, "Yea, verily," if he'd just come on him lakeside and said, "Yea, verily, thou shalt be a fisher of men," do you know what? It would have been in the same manner that you caught fish is the way you'll catch men. Henceforth, from this point on, the way you caught fish is how you'll catch men. If he had said that before, the way you caught fish, what? Total failure is the way you'll catch men. Total failure. But now, the way you catch fish, how? Miraculously. So much so that you need help. You got so much fish you can't even handle it alone. It was never meant for Peter to be the preeminent one. There were always supposed to be other apostles. You know, that's kind of what got him with Peter and Paul. There was this rift between them because people were fueling it. Well, after all, Peter is the apostle. No, he's one of them. And others have to help him or it won't get done. And he knows that it wasn't his eloquent words that got, you know, thousands to come at one meeting. And he knows that it was because of the miraculous touch of God, this miraculous encounter with Jesus. The way you caught fish before would have been a failure. Then you would have caught men the same way as a failure. But now, the way you've caught fish miraculously, abundantly in need of help is how you will catch men. And isn't that true of the rest of his ministry? Amen. So what is the encounter here? The encounter was that God had to change Peter's perspective of himself. When we have an encounter with Jesus, it doesn't change Jesus. Amen. It changes us. We see differently. We think differently. We feel differently. We act differently. It changes how we see ourselves. And when we see ourselves both as able and humble, both in need of others and able to do for others, it makes us be what God has designed us to be. God can call you, but you have to have an encounter with God so that you can develop that mindset that you need to carry out whatever your assignment is. And it's not just one encounter, is it? This was Jesus' first encounter that we know of with Simon Peter. But we see through the Gospels time and time again, whenever he says, "Who do men say I am?" And then, well, this or this. And he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter just sits up bolt right. He's got a revelation. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Again, an encounter with Jesus that changed Peter. He understood a revelation from heaven, and it altered how he conducted himself and how all of us are a part of the follow-up of that ministry. So I don't know about you, but as for me, this month, my road trips with Jesus, I want an encounter with Jesus that will change me, that will change how I see myself, how I see him, how I see those around me, and that God, I may be more useful to fulfilling that which God had already destined me to be. And that is my prayer for you as you encounter him lakeside. May God touch you. May you have an encounter with Jesus that brings us to our knees of repentance, that we shed off all those religious trappings, and that we get to the heart of that spiritual nature of our relationship with Jesus, that he may show us all that he has in mind for us. My prayer for you is that you may encounter a Jesus that elevates your perception of yourself, that causes us to repent for being less than we should have always been, and that by that, many others will be useful in the kingdom to his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Pack your bag. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week when we hit the road again and have another encounter with Jesus. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and the Thursday edition of God in the Midst
airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Gitem Radio, that's GITM Radio, and listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Gitem Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.